Now, I don't have a whole lot of time for my sermon, but I think I can burn through the important parts because some of it is homework. So if you want to look in your bulletin, hopefully you've got a two-sided bulletin that has some blanks and some space on the back. I'm going to come down a little closer. And some of this message today is inspired a little bit about, as I was thinking of our graduates going off into the world with all their knowledge. I still appreciate the assistant district superintendent of our district, Kevin, who said, when I was younger, I thought God was pretty lucky to have me on his team. And then he said, boy, did I learn fast that I had a lot to learn. And the older you get, the more you realize you don't know. And I want to talk a little bit about sifting for truth. Some of the dangers of the philosophies that we encounter in the world. And I am going to burn through this pretty quickly. A lot of this probably is going to seem like it's going to be familiar to some of you. But let me just jump in. When a graduate gets to college, or when you get out into the world, you realize that you encounter a lot of philosophy, a lot of philosophies, capital P, small p, and a lot of people that think they know what truth is all about. One of the things that I want to encourage you, if you're ever in discussions, understand that philosophy as a discipline, true philosophy, first of all, is a search for truth. So if you have somebody who considers themselves a philosopher and they are searching, they really have a hunger and a desire to learn the truth, that's a good place to start. You know, you can see some of that in some of the great Greek scholars like Aristotle and Plato, and how a lot of their philosophical musings led them to very biblical conclusions. The problem with modern philosophy, and I use the small p in the quotes, modern philosophy, if you go into any college and start taking philosophy, one of the first things you're going to learn is that you can't know anything. So modern philosophy actually claims that actual truth cannot be known. While philosophy in and of itself is a search for truth, modern philosophy tries to convince us that truth just can't be known. In fact, it's going to tell us that your truth might not be somebody else's truth. We create our own truth. You know, 3 plus 3 might be 5 for me. Barthy knows it's 7, you know. I mean, the reality is we have our own truth, right? That's ridiculous. That's actually ridiculous. Now, the problem we run into isn't really in the matter of what is truth. It's what sounds good. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man. And that's where a lot of philosophers find themselves, in places where things seem like they make sense. But is it the truth? Or is it something that I've created, something that I've fabricated? Just because something sounds right or something makes sense, quote unquote, that doesn't make it true. Now, I've told this story kind of ad nauseum before. I'll tell it again. I remember a preacher that stood up and said, you know, as human beings, we don't work well unless we're under pressure. Think about it for a minute, he said. Think about it. Tires. Unless a tire is under pressure, it doesn't work properly. And everybody sat there and went, oh, ooh, ooh. But I've got news for you, folks. You're not a tire. We're not tires. Maybe a tire works good under pressure, but human beings were not meant to work under pressure. A human being was meant to work under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Period. You're not a tire. And so we have to be very careful. And so this is my challenge to the grads who've already left, I think. No, here you are. Good. I saw Jesse disappear. No, there you are. Okay, good. They're still here. I'm like, where did my grads go? I have this whole empty section. I'm like speaking to, you know, this is for everybody else too. So if you've already graduated, you know, you used to know how to spell graduate. Now you am one. This is for you too. Some great scriptures that warn us on falling into the traps of things that sound good, of adopting these worldly philosophies. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ." Cheat. You're cheated when you choose to live your life by worldly philosophy. Spoiled is the word that the King James uses, like the spoils of war. You've been defeated, now the enemy's going through your pockets. 1 Timothy 4:7, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. No offense to any old wives here. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Or quick, get rich quick schemes. You know, no, look, this is really about discipline and training. This isn't about a quick fix or something that sounds good. Or 2 Timothy 4:1-5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. It's easy to find yourself in a place where people are amassing for themselves groups of people that will say what they want to hear and turn away from truth and instead live according to myths. And anybody who's spent any time on many of our college campuses in this country realize that a lot of philosophy, a lot of myth, is being lived by a lot of people. Because the alternative is the reality of a God who wants us to live our lives differently, and a lot of people just don't want that. Let me give you a few frequent sources of bad philosophy. Just to be careful, you gotta sift for it. You gotta sift through it. I put modern science in quotes because, you know, science, again, like philosophy, science as a discipline desires to search for truth. And there are many scientists today that realize that the old model of the empirical method is lacking. And instead of saying we aren't gonna believe in it if it can't be seen, tasted, touched, smelled, seen, wait, the five senses, if it can't be empirically measured, it doesn't exist, and instead of taking that approach, they realize science should be a discipline that leads us to the truth. And we follow the evidence where it leads. And if the evidence leads to a designer on a grand scale, so be it. But modern science doesn't allow for that possibility. And so as a result, we have junior high teachers in Gordon and Rushville and high school teachers teaching evolutionary concepts in science that have been disproven by the evolutionary community, but because it advances the cause of a science that is able to explain the world without a God, it's expected, it's allowed. Media, you know there, wow, whether it's the news or the latest sitcom, watch out. Your friends, gotta be careful. Society in general. And sometimes you'll even find it in the church. When the church kind of mixes itself with some of this other stuff, and it's kind of the gospel according to Jesus and Oprah and Dr. Phil, and ends up being kind of a messy mix of pseudo-truth and half-lies. Understand this. God did not create you with spiritual receptivity to keep you in the dark. He wants to give you wisdom if only you will ask for it and walk in faith. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants you to be able to go, graduates, he wants you to be able to go to college and say, I want you to be wise. I want you to be able to answer the questions of your peers. I want you to be able to stand boldly and say, this is why I believe what I believe. This is why I believe that what I believe is consistent. This is why that I believe what I believe works and why I believe it is the truth. Not the truth I have created, but the truth that God created. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 3:13-18 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Oh, me, no, wait. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now what you need to do, you need to take these verses this week. You need to go home and you need to read them and you need to meditate on them and chew on them. Because there is mounds. Every passage here is a sermon in and of itself. We just don't have time to go into all of it. But understand this. Let's go to the next slide. There are forms of wisdom which aren't from God, and they should be identified and avoided. I'm not talking about being closed-minded, and I'm not talking about being so open-minded that your brain leaks out. Okay, I just didn't get any kind of reaction with that one. All right. There are forms of wisdom which aren't from God, should be avoided. So the one that we just read about here is this earthly wisdom that has its root in envy and selfishness. There's a lot of philosophy that you're going to encounter. There's a lot of things that cultural philosophy that people live by, that if you really get down to it, you can identify it, because the root of that cultural philosophy that they live by is based in envy and it's based in selfishness. And it's earthly, because it's about me. Me, 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 and me. And what I want and my needs, and watch out for it. It's not that hard to identify. Colossians 2:20-23 identifies more. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are all based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is a second kind of false wisdom that you find sometimes within the church, sometimes within in the world itself. This is a legalistic kind of wisdom, which is really of no value when it comes to overcoming sin and various struggles. A legalistic wisdom, a wisdom that's based simply on law and legality. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. And Paul identifies them. You know, a lot of this wisdom, it makes sense. But last week we talked a little bit about the people that were having themselves crucified in the Philippines to worship the Lord, or the people that would pray and whip themselves to do harm to themselves because they believed that pleased God. And so harsh treatment of the body, false humility, subjecting yourselves to rigorous types of legalistic patterns in order to try to please God, or in the world, just trying to gain a sense of self-worth by being disciplined in and of itself, is a legalistic form of wisdom that really has no value in overcoming sin and struggle, because the only way you're going to overcome sin and struggle is if the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart and changes you and transforms you and gives you a desire for the things of God. Now, this is where the homework part comes in, because we're about out of time. If you turn to the back side of the sheet, you're going to see a number of scriptures. I'm going to read the first one and give you some examples of what you're looking for. What you're going to try to do is you are going to identify some things in the first two scriptures that come as a result of godly wisdom. And then you're going to read the next two at home, and you're going to write down some things that you can do, you yourself specifically can do, to engage God's word and put these things into practice. Let me give you an example. Let's look at the first, Colossians 1:9-14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what you're going to do is you're going to go through this passage and you're going to identify the things that come as a result of godly wisdom. You're going to write down things like the knowledge of God's will. You're going to write down spiritual wisdom and understanding. You're going to write down growth, strength, power, patience, redemption, forgiveness. Those are all good things, right? Thank you. I got one amen. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Yeah. And so I really challenge you, don't just forget this. I mean, this is going to have to be a little more interactive if you're really going to get this stuff. You need to go home, you need to read through this, and you need to write down the things that are going to come to you because of godly wisdom. And then you're going to go to part 5, and you're going to read those next few scriptures, and you are going to reflect on those passages, and you are going to ask yourself, how do I need to live my life differently today, right now, in order to put these principles into practice? If you don't do it, this sermon will not work. I guarantee it. Now let me close on this. Okay, you're going to cycle through to the, you're going to cycle past those scriptures, and you're going to go over to the next line, right? Next. There we go. Home stretch. Do your homework. Okay, look at the person next to you and say, "Do your homework." All right. Now, it is commonly stated and frequently accepted that we are supposed to determine what's true for me. But we don't create truth. We can't determine what's true for me. Because if there is absolute truth, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth comes from God. And if there is absolute truth in the world, I can't determine that something that is true for you is not true for me. Because if it's true, it's true for both of us. If Joe and I get up on a building after church, which we won't because I'm afraid of heights, but if we were to do that and we were to stand there and I determine that gravity is not true for me and I jump, what will happen? Gravity will still be true for me. And so you say, well, it doesn't work that way in the spiritual realm. It does. You just don't think it does. I'm sorry. There are spiritual laws in place. And if you don't know them, the enemy will not play fair and he will have you for lunch. There is truth, and you need to find it. In reality, we must determine to seek out and discover God's truth, and then decide whether or not we're going to live by it. That's my challenge to you today. Let's stand together and pray. Father, thank you so much for everybody that took the time to be here today. Thank you for the moms. Thank you for the graduates. And for everybody here that's not a mom or a graduate, Father, we just are blessed to be able to come into your presence, to worship together from all different places. Thank you so much for the folks that are here visiting with us, Lord, and the blessing that they have been to us. I pray, Father, as we really reflect on our lives and we look at your word and we realize what you have for us, God, we realize that your desire is to guide us into all truth so that we might be prepared to have an answer for the hope that we have when someone asks us. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.